all the information for the entire Northern Nevada area.
They are bringing more illegals every day.
On one radio station.
At this point, I just kind of assume every politician is dirty.
Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth, truth.
Earlier this morning, I was talking about how my dad would always tell me, sit up straight, sit up straight. I had terrible posture. I think I really still do. You know, I don't know when my slouching days are going to be over. What can I do? Well, in the studio, we have somebody skilled in what is called posture therapy. And this is Kathy Mulherin. And her little service is called Straighten Up Nevada. Wow. Kathy, so nice to meet you.
Thank you, John, for having me on the show. I'm so happy to be here.
I think we should start a war on slouching because personally, it makes men look small and feeble. And this is more than just bad appearance. Slouching, bad posture can cause back, neck, and shoulder pain. You know, age wears down the discs in your spine. And my doctor told me that is why men lose height as they get older, is bad posture.
That's right.
Is this a man thing? Are they more prone to this?
Oh, no. It's happening to the young generation. You know, they're bent over and hunched over their phones now. And so typically, you know, I've been working with people for over 25 years. And, you know, for years, I saw the baby boomer generation. And now it's starting to get younger and younger, where the spine is actually starting to curl into more of a C-curve spine. The hip muscles are getting lazy. Yeah.
We've all seen that. The stereotypical little old man with a cane. So, Straighten Up Nevada, posture therapy. How did you get into this industry?
I found it. My degree's in sports medicine. I went to college down in Orange County, and my aunt is the one who said, hey, you got to look into this. It really helped all my chronic pain. She had abdominal chronic pain, and she was really active, and she couldn't walk her dog. So she found this posture therapy, alignment therapy, and she went through a process of 8 weeks, and she completely healed her abdominal pain and got herself back on track. So she's the one who told me about it. And I thought, oh, she's doing something weird. And I looked into it, and it's real. The muscles move your bones, the muscles hold your bones in place. And so if you train your muscle system to align your joints properly, and you can do it yourself if you have the right tools, and then your body will heal itself naturally.
So what is posture therapy? What do you do?
So as you come in for a visit, we start with posture alignment photos. It's really, do you just tuck in your shirt or wear a sport bra if you're a female? And you could also tuck in your shirt if you're female. You can wear like a pair of shorts and go barefoot. And we look at we take front view, back view, and side view photos. And really, we're looking at your joint position. So you might have one knee that points outward, and the other one points straight ahead or in or out. So we look at all of your joint positions. They should all line up. And your spine should sit nicely on top of your pelvis with a nice S curve. And so we look at what's out of alignment. And then we also do some function tests to see how the body's moving or not moving, if you're stuck somewhere. And then we take you through some simple exercises to correct what things that we find that your body's doing or
simple?
Not doing.
Are they simple?
Well, they are simple. Some of them are sitting in a chair doing a knee pillow squeeze. Some are a little harder. Some are just poses, breathing. So it just depends on what changes you need.
How long have you been doing this?
I want to say over 25 years. I started when I was 5. I'm kidding.
No,
I've been doing this for 25 years, and it's a lot of fun. People love to feel better.
Yeah. How did it start for you? How did you get interested in this in the first place?
That's a good question. When I was in college, I went in as a business major, and I played on the soccer team, college soccer, and I was in the athletic training room a lot, icing and healing my own sports injuries. And I I slowly loved, you know, I slowly learned about athletic training and how you could heal your body and sports medicine. And so I switched majors. And then after college, I found this technique and through my aunt, and I've been doing it ever since.
You get the therapy session, but the recommendations that you give people that they can do at home, this is not hard, sweaty exercise.
No.
This is just sitting in a different position or something like that that can help. But at certain ages, isn't this irreversible? I mean...
Not necessarily.
Really?
So I've worked with... The youngest person I've worked with was a boy age 6. And, you know, his mom brought him in and he needed help with his karate kicks. And he says he can't keep up with the other kids. And, you know, he can't kick forward like the other kids. His leg kicks to the side. So we trained his body and he came in. He was real excited. I can kick straight now. And so 6 years old up to, you know, mid-80s. So is I get a lot of 60s, 70s, early 80s. Of people, and it's not always, you know, your goals have to be reasonable, but people are told you can't heal your body. This is age, and you'd be surprised at waking up some pelvic muscles, asking your spine to be straighter, how much straighter your body can get.
So your therapy session, you say you start with the photographs and examining what the backbone is like, what the posture is like. You recommend things. Is there like actual hands-on physical therapy that you do? Okay.
Yeah, I don't touch anybody. I give them the tools to fix themselves. We go through it together, and we take photos at the end to see how much change we've made in that 1 hour time frame. And so then it lets us know, oh, this is great. This is great. Maybe we need a little more work on this area of your body as well.
It sounds to me like you are just this diehard believer in what this can do.
I am. I enjoy helping people, you know, so if it didn't work, I wouldn't do it.
Give me some success stories. No names, of
course. No names.
Tell me about like a person you helped and what their situation was.
I'll talk about...
That'd be great.
Yeah. And some people
hope they don't recognize themselves.
They might. Okay. It's okay if they want to call in. I worked on last year. I worked on this guy who he came in and he had like low back issues around his SI joint, around the lumbar spine, and as a super athlete, you know, and he's a school teacher and he wanted to do this extreme race where you hike up the mountain with your skis on your back and you ski down for like 7 days in a row. And I thought,
endurance race.
Yeah. Oh my God, I wouldn't be able to do that, but that sounds amazing. So yeah, I took him through the process and helped him get out of pain. He had tried a bunch of other things. I said, well, you've got to start increasing. So as he got pain free, then he started increasing his, you know, training. And as he got through the training, then he did the race. So congratulations to him.
Well, you really got people's interest going here. So before we go into break, Kathy, how can do you have an internet presence or how can people contact
you? You can go to my website.
You have a website.
Yeah, okay. straightenupnv.com. And that's, straightenupnv.com. Or you can call my office number. It's 775-357-8551. Again, 775-357-8551. And you can just call me. We could do a consultation over the phone. You can come in and see if it's the right fit for you.
An in-person consultation, how much would that cost?
So really the consultation, just a quick chat. It could be up to 20 minutes just to talk about the program and talk about them and what their needs are. So I don't charge for that. So, yeah.
That's awesome, Kathy. And your location is going to be your opening or opening soon?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll be opening, well, we're already open and seeing people, but our grand opening will be on the 28th, March 28th. So you're welcome to come down and check things out then as well. We'll be hosting the radio from that day or from our office.
Yes. Yes. We're going to do the show there.
Yes, we are.
On the 28th. Yes. Oh, super, man.
Yeah.
All right. Well, come on. Show your curved spines, folks. That'll be a blast. So we got one more segment with you. But, folks, you can ask questions here from Kathy Mulheron.
That's right.
Of Straighten Up Nevada, 884-9910. One more segment with Kathy. Really interesting. I'm John Potter, live and local, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 1116.
The talk starts here. Get the conversation going. Call now.
Hello?
99.1 KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk.
In studio, one more segment with Kathy Mulheron of Straighten Up Nevada. It's straightenupnv.com. And she will do your first consultation at no cost. She can do it over the phone, in person. Also, you have a webcam set up, right?
Oh, yes.
Webcam therapy.
That's correct. So if people want to call from another state and they need some help, for example, yesterday I helped an old client of mine. I hadn't talked to her for years, and she had hurt herself taking her trash out. I guess she was heavy and she kind of tripped a little bit and she's got pain up and down her back. And so we just met over Zoom and did a whole hour that way. I took her photos, entered them in my system, and I was able to take her through exercises over Zoom. And then I just send her all everything she needs to do and we do a follow up. So yeah, you can do any remote session if you need to.
There are different reasons why people come by to see you to help them. It could be injuries. It could be what, a kind of an assortment, right? Not everybody has the same story here.
Yeah, everybody has something unique going on. And sometimes you don't realize that your body could help itself if you just activate the right muscles and make a small change. I had a client in the past and somebody had referred her to me and she said, Kathy, I had your card for 3 months and I didn't call you because I have good posture. And so she finally came in and she had shoulder issues and she was a triathlete. She was doing some extreme sports stuff all over the world. And I said, well, you do have good posture, but look at your shoulder position. We took some pictures and her shoulder was in front of her body. And she said, oh, I never noticed that. So it's sometimes we think we can't realign ourselves, but this sometimes it's just some simple changes that we need to make for our body to heal itself all the way.
There are some people who have pain and some people who don't.
That's right.
For your posture therapy.
Yes.
And word gets around, and if it works, people tell other people. Are you a proponent of yoga or Tai Chi?
Absolutely, both. So there's a good amount of breathing, good amount of positions, and the Tai Chi's got a lot of energy and good function and positions in it. And the yoga also is usually addressing your full body. I did rent space from a yoga center in Georgia for a while and did work on a lot of the yoga instructors as well. So everybody has some imbalances that could be corrected. And so if you look in the mirror, you might notice that one hip is higher than the other or your body is not balanced when you're walking or at the gym. So everybody could have something they could work on.
It's all about moving around, right? I mean, moving around it is good for everything, and you don't want to stay in one position too long.
That's right.
That's the key.
The old saying, use it or lose it, is correct.
Okay.
So the idea of doing the alignment, lining your joints up, is it becomes more correct design movement rather than movement with everything out of place.
And posture affects mood. What's the connection there?
Yeah, it's you know, if you watch the person walk in the room that's standing tall, shoulders back, head on top of their shoulders, they look more confident and happier. If you see somebody slouched forward, they're definitely going to be affected by that. Their image is affected, but they also don't feel as good as the person that's standing upright and their spine's actually holding them better.
Are there products that you can buy, like these harness belts or whatever, that they say they improve your posture, they make you sit up or stand up straight? Is it worth getting into those?
There's thousands of them on Amazon.
I know. Every time I go to the internet, there's some ad for something like that.
Yeah, I have a client in, she calls remotely from Georgia, and she's in her 80s, and she does the exercises regularly and just asked me this last week, what should I buy so I can sit better in my chair at home? And I looked up an Amazon. I mean, I just found her one that had 37,000 positive reviews and said, try this. But there's so many different, you have to try it out and you have to make sure it works for you. I look at the outside things as Band-Aids. Like you can use a chair, a specific chair, you know, thing to put behind you, support, and it's going to help you, but it's not everything. You also have to train your body to hold itself.
You have like a current customer right now. You were telling me off air about you have a gentleman coming in. And
yeah, I just wanted to explain that the whole body functions as a unit. One of the guys coming in right now, we took him for heel pain. I gave him a shoulder exercise. So we worked on changing his upper back position out of that rounded position to bring his head back, and walked across the room. I said, how do you feel? And he says, my foot feels better. So, you know, just to go to show that the whole body alignment, if you come in and want to work on your knee, we have to look and say, well, maybe we need to change your upper back position or level your pelvis. So it's not exactly what you think it might be. So we look at the whole body.
Who exactly can you help? What different cases, what different issues can you help? What person, what different people can this posture therapy be beneficial to?
Yeah, it's all ages. And it's really somebody who's looking to make a change. You have to want to be different. Some people, you know, it's just not nagging them enough to want to change. You actually have to do the exercises to train the muscles to stand better, feel better, to change your mechanics. So the person that's right for the program is somebody who's looking for a change, wants to feel better, wants better mobility. It helps you to get up and down out of a chair better, get on the floor again if you haven't been doing that. So if you're ready to make a change and you want to do the exercises, then it could be helpful for you.
And I'm thinking too that posture has to be the number one thing that impresses other people about you. If they get a totally different picture from meeting you, if you're not slouching. I sound like my dad here all over again, but it really does make a difference in so many ways.
It does. I worked on a hairdresser a couple years ago, and she came in and said everybody kept complimenting her face and her hair. She said, I didn't change anything. They don't realize that my posture's better.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to apply for a job slouching.
No.
Just sitting up straight. Probably make all the difference and make that person their choice. All right. How can people contact you again, Kathy Mulheron?
Yeah. They can just call me up or they can go to my website and contact me that way. My email's on the website. The website is straightenupnv.com and the office number is 775-357-8551. Again, that's 775-357-8551. Just give me a call and we'll have a conversation, see if you want to come in and talk or if we want to talk over the phone and see if it's the right fit for you.
And we're going to be broadcasting live from your setup, which is opening soon at Smith Ridge Plaza in Reno, 2 weeks from today. And we'll be talking a lot more about that as we get close to the big day.
Yeah, we're so excited to have you in our clinic. That's so exciting.
Of all the location broadcasts, that will be so beneficial for me.
Oh, we're so looking forward to it. Not anymore.
Oh, you're going to take care of me. Okay.
That's right.
All right. Kathy Mulheron, go to the website, folks, straightenupnv.com. Kathy, it's been a real pleasure.
It's the pleasure's mine. Thank you so much, John.
I love having guests that can help people and no pain in this therapy whatsoever. And you don't even touch these people.
No.
All right. Super. Kathy, thanks again.
Thank you.
Going to break for Fox News. I got to finish my volunteer fireman in Nevada story. That's after Fox News, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. And, of course, feel free to call, folks. It's open topic for the next half hour at 884-9910. FM News Talk, time 1130.
Live, local, FM Talk. KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk.
Anybody else have anything they want to share today?
This is where to say it. Call now at 884-9910.
60 degrees in Reno. And I just can't imagine 84 degrees for high on Tuesday. What a quick end to winter, truly. I'm John Potter, live and local, 99.1FMTalk.com. If you missed something or you heard about something on this show or on the other shows that we have here, we save them as podcasts. And again, you go to 991FMTalk.com. It's in the upper left. I bring this up because I get a lot of people at Costco, usually for some reason, I get questions about something I said. And usually they say, you know, I want my husband or my son to hear that. Do you save your shows? And yes, we do. So you go to 991FMTalk.com, upper left, go to podcasts. It's hop, skip, and click away. It's funny, too, because many times, too often, actually, people come up and they say, I like what you said about blank, whatever it is. And I go, what? And I say, I said that? And they're puzzled that I don't remember saying that, but apparently I did really do say that. I just don't remember.
That's so called old age.
I might check out the podcast myself, you know, and listen and go, wow, who is this guy? Part of why I don't remember, I think, aside from my age, is that I'm a storyteller. I always have been. That was always my approach to writing news stories. I like to add historical context to stories because at my age, and because I've lived in Nevada most of my life, I have stories. You know, the one wise supervisor. There was one. The one wise supervisor I had at Channel 2 told me flat out, you're a storyteller, and I like it. And, of course, she did not last long there. You know, at Channel 2, I would often hear, hey, Potter, we need to cut 90 seconds out of your story. Yeah, what? A good example of that was right here on this radio show last Saturday where I started talking about the Jesse Jackson funeral, and in a matter of 5 minutes, it devolved into the Chinese who built the Donner Pass Railroad in the 1880s. That happened. Anyway, back to the topic before Kathy was here, and that was about Washoe County and the cities of Reno and Sparks are hosting an informational meeting. It's this coming Thursday. They have to do the state mandated study. This is passed by the Nevada legislature, said they have to do this. And it requires a study into possibly consolidating Reno Fire, Sparks Fire, and Truckee Meadows. They've done this before. Then they broke up. Then there was a blue ribbon panel to do it again. Don't we live in a crazy town? But anyway, I got off on talking about how Nevada has this amazing volunteer fireman history. They were all volunteers, starting with Virginia City, where we had 500 volunteer firemen doing all the grunt work because there were so many fires back then. Everything was made of wood and people were lighting their houses with candles and everything like that. And it was a tradition. It was a rite of passage type thing to join your communities, whatever. And that was, in many cases for people, the volunteer fire department. Well, now it's all professional, very high wages. And there's a reason why it's professional. We've learned a lot about fighting fires. We can take advantage of technology, more different ways, concepts and such to put out a fire safely. I was a volunteer fireman in York, Pennsylvania, and I had, like I said before, I had the time of my life. There's a personal happiness thing associated with serving your community, as I found being a volunteer fireman. Now, the Pennsylvania and the Nevada volunteer firemen I knew, and sorry, yes, they were all men. That's how it was. But many, many of them were combat vets. When they got back from World War II, the Korean War, or Vietnam, they simply changed uniforms. They went back to their lives at home, and they came out to serve when the bell rang in town and somebody needed help. And that spirit of the volunteer firefighters in northern Nevada, literally since the 1800s, has been kind of the social backbone of so many communities. The town I grew up in, the men in the fire department, they were the leaders of the community, you know, the ones people looked up to. Their wisdom was treasured by all of us. And today, as a news guy, I had, and still have now and then, the privilege over a lot of years to speak at fire banquets. The tradition for a department is once a year, the firefighters have a banquet, and sometimes it's a real put on the Ritz, and other times it's, back the trucks out of the bay and we'll do a dish to pass or something like that. The auxiliary will bring in some casseroles for the banquets, and stories are told. People are honored, and years of service awards are passed along. And I have seen in so many of these banquets the fiber of a community. Often there will be departments where there are three or four or five generations of family in this local fire department. And I remember noticing that a lot of the chiefs and deputy chiefs, you would see the same last name here and there. And I've also been to banquets twice in recent years where they have honored firefighters who have been with the department for 60 years. One of the gentlemen, we joke around, we met twice, and each time are told pretty much the same jokes. But this man is, you know, almost 90 years old now. You would start the firehouse when you're 17 or 18 back in the day, and you just stick with it for some people. But the interesting deal is that this man, who's 80-some years old, who has 60 years of active service on the fire department, he just doesn't show up for the banquets or for the monthly social. He lives pretty close to the fire station, and even though he's retired, at every call, he's there. I have been at this man's department banquet twice, and in both times, he was the firefighter who got the award for responding to the most calls. And to see that sort of decades-long service saving people's lives and property, you just marvel at the incomprehensible amount of service into their community. And I always tell folks at these banquets that I've got a lot to be thankful for. I have a beautiful wife. I have an enjoyable job, good friends, three cats that I love, and a home we're proud of. And every night I say my prayers and I ask the Lord to watch over and protect my loved ones. And I know that if there should ever arise a need for those prayers to be answered, that the great likelihood is that the Lord is going to send me one of them to answer that prayer. And that every time you fire folks respond to a call, you're doing the work of the angels coming to the deliverance of somebody who is in a difficulty. Maybe it's my water line broke and I need help. Maybe it's I've wrapped my car around a pole. You're going to have to cut me out and try to save my life. But that's what they do, and we depend on them. But they have told me that recruitment for, and, you know, this is just like our armed services nowadays, recruitment for volunteer firefighter enrollment is now at historic lows, critical lows. Despite a growing U.S. population and a 70% increase in emergency call volume, since 2008, the number of volunteers has continued to shrink. Many states are reporting 40-year lows in recruitment. Nevada fire departments are struggling for a variety of reasons. Society has changed. Culture has changed. Many don't work in the town where they live anymore, so you can't just run out of your place to answer a call in the middle of the day. And the state has dramatically increased the mandatory training. Part of that is from unions who, if we can be honest, would just prefer to get rid of the volunteer departments and bring in all the highly paid. Nevada recently increased training requirements for volunteer firefighters, requiring at least 40 hours of training, including EMR certification and specialized hazardous materials response. The Truckee Meadows Fire District now requires intensive specialized academy hours for active duty volunteers. They don't make it easy now. Recent Nevada legislation, AB 321, is expanding training for wildland firefighters. And a lot of that is not just to make things more difficult for the newbies. It's because of evolving technology. There's more stuff to learn. The training gets longer and harder, and it's very difficult for a volunteer to get through it. You kind of long for the days when there was just the danger and the risk. And also culturally, we don't join things anymore. We haven't in a number of years. I mean, we still have the Elks, the Kiwanis, the Rotary Clubs. There's still an Optimist Club. But we also used to have what the Moose Lodges. Remember those? And there were all kinds of lodges and chapters and more bowling leagues. And folks would get together and typically enjoy fellowship with each other and engage in some sort of community service. Try to make their place in Northern Nevada a little bit better, like, you know, leave the wood pile a little higher than they found it. We used to be joiners in America. We used to go to church. Now we sit at the house and watch Netflix, I guess. But we've withdrawn from our communities, and it's not uncommon not to know the names of the people who live right next door to us. I'm not, you know, criticizing. I'm just saying that's the way it is, and many of us miss the wonderful, ageless Nevada tradition of things like the volunteer fire department. You got to think about joining while you can. And if you can't, when you see one of those folks, be sure and say thank you to them. And I suspect that a little handshake and a pat on the back is always appreciated. Yes, picture me in a firefighter suit. I was a volunteer fireman. York, Pennsylvania. You know, it's funny. I checked my old department this morning online. It's a much more professional operation with few volunteers. Now they put you in as a probationary. That's the word they use now. A probationary firefighter with a $44,000 salary. It was a different time back then. Different time. Let's go to the phones. Jeff is calling from Reno. Topic he's chosen is Iran on this open topic half hour. Hey, Jeff, good morning. I'm glad you called. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, John. Thank you. And thank you for giving credit to the volunteer firefighters. Before I mention a thing or two about Iran, you know, you mentioned all the fires in Virginia City because the houses were, everything was wood and people lit with candles. Yes. They lit with candles and kerosene lamps, right? So you hardly hear it mentioned, but who saved the whales? Oil.
Oh, yes.
Big oil saved the whales.
And how did they do that, Jeff?
Because before kerosene, how did people used to see in the dark? It was whale oil.
Wow.
So, you know, when you hear about big, bad oil, just whenever somebody goes off on oil, just remind them that oil saved the whales.
Wow. Okay, Jeff. I appreciate that. Thanks a lot. That's interesting. So, you
want... All right.
Did you,
now...
Yeah.
Something to muse over. Iran has been working on a nuclear bomb all these years, right? Mm-hmm. And there are other countries that took them a long time to develop the bomb. And you can probably get the directions on the internet. You just need the material.
Uh-huh.
But in this country, a group of men, you know, got together and they did it when it had never been done before. And they put it together in maybe 3-4 years. Now, you know, it may be helped that a lot of the top brains on the jobs led Germany because of Hitler. So, you know, that sort of helped. But I just, you think about, is this a great country or what? You know, we made the bomb from scratch. And anybody else that tries to do it, it's a major undertaking and it takes a long, long time.
right you say, Jeff. That's absolutely. God bless American ingenuity and professionalism and such. I appreciate your call, my friend. I got to go.
And freedom.
All right.
Let you go. Thank you.
Yeah, when it comes to this war, we finally have a president who doesn't put this off and leave it for the next guy. You know, it's painful, but it has to be done. And Iran, as Jeff was just mentioning, Iran is just too close. Technology moves rapidly for long-range military weapons. Have you seen the aerial shot of their nuclear facilities? It's like USA Parkway before it was bombed. And I will say that my first reaction, finding out that when I first heard about the attack, you find out Israel was joining us on these strikes, I was thinking, oh my goodness, that's not really going to play well in the Middle East among the other Arab countries. And then upon further review and reading, I realized that this is not the Middle East of 1967 or 1973. There seems to be a new crop of leaders in some of the key nations in the Middle East who don't seem to be as dogmatic with respect to Israel. They seem to be a lot more practical. Obviously, Iran is a huge exception to that, chanting death to Israel, death to America, seemingly every day. It's been number one, top of the record charts in Iran since 1979, death to Israel, death to America. I don't know if anybody's going to do a cover of that, but anyway, I'm John Potter. Down to our final segment up next. Phone lines open 884-9910 on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 1150.
There is no need for you to speak unless I ask you a question.
FM Talk, radio, 99.1, KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk.
Hi, friends. Welcome back. It's, 11:54 already. Let's see what the temperature is like. It's interesting, isn't it? 60 degrees, our current temperature. And once again, 83. National Weather Service Reno office says 83 by Tuesday, maybe on Wednesday, too. Driving-wise, we're okay. Beautiful day. Make the most of it. It's a wonderful world. Can't wait to get out there myself. Let me see. We brought this up, but I'll squeeze it in because it has been the top local story. Well, let me tell you first some bad news. They fought hard. They were really flying high in the Mountain West quarterfinals, but top seed Utah State beat Nevada 79-66 last night in the semifinals of the Mountain West tournament. I say good job, men. Be proud. That was a great run. I am hoping for the next week to have a little more transparency about what is going on in Reno government. So far, we've had the Reno police chief, the assistant chief, five other officers, two Reno judges have all been forced to step down, not from the same thing, but we don't really know what the thing is when it comes to the Reno Police Department stepping down, forced to step down from their positions of responsibility. And yes, I do think Tony Soprano should try to clean the place up. My opinion, for what it's worth, is that when they put six top people at the Reno Police Department on paid leave, that is super unusual. It is not something you can do without a real explanation. And we, the residents of Reno, deserve more, a lot more accountability and transparency. And the, well, this is an internal investigation. We're not allowed. By who? We can't divulge names. Well, I'm pretty sure you can. I mean, you can state a simple fact. These five officers are on paid leave, period. It's should be public record. You're not accusing them of anything. You are stating these people are on leave, and you're not saying they did anything. If you still say, no, by law, we have to keep the names confidential. Well, you already named the police chief. I mean, it seems a little much. And the more they try to hide stuff, the more you think, wow, this is really big. And it kind of backfires on what they're trying to accomplish there in the first place. A final tally of candidates are eye-opening. The last day to file for office in Nevada ended yesterday. Folks, you have to decide between 27 candidates who have filed for the District 2 seat in Congress that Mark Amadei is leaving. 27. 20 people have filed to run for governor. I recognize maybe a third of the names, but the rest, like a candidate who goes by the name Sunshine Afterburn, why do people like this bother? I don't want to affect the vote here, but I can tell you Nevada is never going to have a Governor Afterburn. I just know it. It's just a fact. There are 9 in the race for Reno mayor. 9. 4 for Sparks mayor, Lucky Sparks. 4 for Attorney General in the state of Nevada. 7 for Secretary of State. All in for the midterm elections this year. There are some puzzling things on the, as I take a look at who's running for what. Judge Connie Steinheimer, who has been temporarily removed from all of her cases, they never told us why. That's another transparency thing. She is the only candidate for Washoe County District Court Judge Department 4, yet she was temporarily strange city we live in. You know, I don't know. Craig, thank you again for running things from Carson City. And next Saturday, we're going to be on location. I hope you can come out and join us. They're going to tell me where next, I hope. Have yourself an outstanding weekend. It's been my pleasure to keep you company, and that's what radio does best. Have yourself a super Saturday. I'll talk to you next Saturday. 99.1 FM Talk. Bye-bye.